Radio Prague News.
The Czech Prime Minister says he expects the Czech Republic will sign an agreement with the United States in April on the building of a U.S. radar base in central Bohemia. A Czech delegation in Washington is set to sign a memorandum with the U.S. on the Czech Republic's inclusion in the U.S. visa waiver program. And an expert group working under the Minister for Human Rights and Minorities proposes that same-sex couples in the Czech Republic be allowed to adopt children. The Czech Prime Minister Mirek Topolánek expects that the Czech Republic will sign an agreement with the United States on the building of a U.S. radar base in central Bohemia around the time of a NATO summit in Bucharest at the beginning of April. Mr. Topolánek made the comments on his way to Washington, where he and other Czech ministers are meeting senior U.S. officials. He said discussions would take in how the U.S. anti-missile system would be linked to NATO structures and Russia's opposition to the plan. Prime Minister Topolánek is set to hold talks with President George Bush on Wednesday. The Czech delegation are also set to sign a memorandum with the United States on the Czech Republic's being included in the U.S. visa waiver program. The memorandum is itself not legally binding, but is intended to pave the way to a full agreement between the two countries. An expert group on sexual minorities working under the Minister for Human Rights and Minorities, Jamila Stehlíková, has proposed a number of changes to Czech law, including a provision to allow same-sex couples to adopt children, Lidové noviny reported. The expert group's proposals, which have been posted on the internet, also include widows' and widowers' pensions for the surviving partner in registered homosexual couples. Same-sex registered partnerships were introduced in the Czech Republic in July 2006. The Czech search websites Centrum.cz and Atlas.cz are to merge under a deal announced on Tuesday. Atlas is being bought by NetCentrum, which is owned by the American private equity firm Warburg Pincus. The new group should have combined user numbers of over 4 million and be a strong competitor to the biggest search site, Seznam.cz, which has around 4.5 million users. Centrum and Atlas will maintain their names and current forms. The weather, we can expect more mild weather in the coming days, with temperatures of up to 12 degrees Celsius. It should be cloudy with some sunny spells. My name is Ian Willoughby, and for now, that's the end of the news.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I am Ruth Franíková. Coming up in today's program, plans for the biggest reform of the Czech police force in 5 decades. Many here in the Czech Republic have been commemorating the communist takeover of 1948, but how do the communists themselves view that period? And we hear from the very excited hometown of the Oscar-winning Czech musician Markéta Irglová. Later in Talking Point, should Czechs rejoice or despair at the strengthening of their currency against the euro and the dollar? All this and more coming up, so please stay tuned. The Czech police is set for the most profound reform the force has seen in 5 decades. On Monday, the government passed a new police bill which abolishes some of its current responsibilities. At the same time, the police force will have more authority to combat the mafia, extremism and other serious crime. Jan Richter has the details.
The government passed a new police bill on Monday that will do away with some obsolete duties the police has been responsible for. Instead of delivering court orders and taking drunkards to sobering stations, the Czech police will have more time to focus on fighting crime. Police President Oldřich Martinů explains what the reform is aimed at.
The main goal of the reform of the police is new, modern police, which will be perceived by people like organization which protects and helps the public. We try to get rid of some useless administration and bureaucracy, and the police will get new authority, especially those which will be used in the fight against extremism, prostitution and illegal employment. And of course, in the same way, we are suggesting new organizational structure and new economic functioning of the whole organization.
To achieve all this, the bill introduces a number of new measures the police can use. Officers will be able to enter private homes whenever people's rights and liberties are at risk. The police will also be able to turn off nationwide mobile phone networks in the event of imminent terrorist attacks. And the new law also establishes a duty for the media to publish police statements without editing them. Filip Pospíšil, an expert for the Czech human rights watchdog Juridicum Remedium, says that the new act on police might be going a little too far.
We can see these attempts to broaden the powers of security agencies or police all around the world. But the thing is that often, and it is also the case of the new Czech law on police, these attempts to get more powers for fighting the organized crime or terrorism are not balanced with the respect to the improving of the control mechanisms over the new powers of the police, and also with the respect to the privacy or the rights of citizens.
The police reform will also see a change in the police inspectorate, a body that investigates violations of the law committed by police officers themselves. Under the current legislation, the inspectorate is controlled solely by the Interior Ministry. Filip Pospíšil of Juridicum Remedium again.
There were a lot of discussions in recent years on the necessity of the reform of the inspection of the police, because we had in the past a lot of cases of misuse of police powers, including police violence, that went completely uninvestigated. And originally, Ministry of Interior announced that actually the new law will bring some significant change in that respect, but it haven't happened.
Police President Oldřich Martinů says that the Interior Ministry is working on a new act on a general inspectorate, which will be more independent and also control customs, the prison services and other bodies.
The inspection will have authority not only on the police force or police officers, but on all members of the security corps. The law on the general inspection will put much more stricter emphasis on the control of the members of security corps.
Police President Oldřich Martinů ending that report by Jan Richter. Not everyone who marked the 60th anniversary of the communist takeover on Monday was mourning the victims of the regime. Several hundred mostly elderly Communist Party sympathizers gathered in Prague, shouting slogans and waving red banners with a hammer and sickle. It was a reminder that not everybody in this country believes the class struggle is over. So how do today's communists see the events of February 1948? Rob Cameron has more.
The communist takeover in February 1948 left a deep imprint both on Czech society and on the physical landscape of the Czech Republic. Even this six-lane highway running either side of me here at the top of Wenceslas Square was a communist-designed project, and a highly political one at that. For the communists, it was a work of modernity and progress, and for their opponents, a deliberate attempt to cut off the bourgeois suburbs of Vinohrady, just up behind me, from the city centre. Joining me is Dr. Josef Skála. He's an advisor to the Central Committee of the present-day Communist Party, and indeed a candidate for the party leadership. Dr. Skála, this highway, a symbol of communist-era excess or a symbol of modernity?
Let me correct you a bit. The reason was of the technical nature. The transport was too much blocked by rush hours and all of this, so it was built this way, maybe not the ideal one, but built for the simply technical civilization purposes, nothing in common with politics. It's a little bit funny if some people try to add such a meaning through some sort of a rewriting history. One should go to the roots and see why. What was the situation here before?
Well, moving aside from the architecture of Prague, is it possible to separate the achievements of communism from communism's failures?
Look, I think most of the people in this country got much better than they were before. And it would need a very long interview to enumerate all these successes. So for me, that part of the history which started 60 years ago was a launching pad for a big civilization progress, incomparable with any other periods of our history.
Right, but the victims of that progress included hundreds of thousands of people who emigrated, thousands of people who were imprisoned.
This would also need a very long debate. First of all, you should study how it started. It started by the terror against our people, not our terror to the counterparts. Our predecessors also have their hands stained by blood, that's true. But each historic development, one should study from the origins, its immanent logic, and not to start from the end. So, but I'm sure we don't have time for such a long debate today.
Indeed we don't. It was called Victorious February, the communist takeover in February 1948. We're looking around us at the symbols here. There's an advert for McDonald's here. There's an advert for Prada mobile phones. There's a branch of Marks and Spencer's just down the road. It looks like capitalism were the victors in this battle. Communism surely were the losers.
Look, again, one should... You English people have one very nice wording. Or saying, facts are a stubborn thing. And if we would have time for grasping facts and comparing them, so I will advance you on the facts from the statistical abstracts of this country now, that millions of the people in this country are living worse than they were 20 years ago.
Dr. Josef Skala, advisor to the Communist Party Central Committee, and he was speaking there to Rob Cameron. The young Czech musician Markéta Irglová has shot to world fame after her winning appearance at Sunday night's Oscars ceremony, where she and her Irish partner Glenn Hansard took the award for Best Original Song for Falling Slowly. Markéta, who only graduated from secondary school last summer, is from the quiet South Moravian town of Valašské Meziříčí, though perhaps it isn't so quiet at the moment. Local people have been celebrating her wonderful success and are now considering how they should honour the 19-year-old. Irena Brauerová works at the town hall in Valašské Meziříčí and is an old friend of the Irgl family. I spoke to her earlier.
It's amazing. It's such an atmosphere here. We really smile at each other and really everybody live by this idea how tremendous victory of Markéta Irglová was. So, it's special atmosphere here.
So you can actually, when you walk in the streets, you can overhear people talking about her?
Yes, they are talking about her. They are discussing what we will do about it, how we will praise her or how we will express to her and to Glenn Hansard this joy and appreciation of what we have.
So does the city plan any special event when Markéta returns from the States?
Yeah, we are right now discussing about it, and also we will talk about it in a city hall. We want to give her special award of mayor of the city, and I hope that we will make some event to award her.
As far as I know, your husband teaches English at a high school which Markéta attended.
Yeah.
And you yourself have known her family for quite a long time. So can you tell me what she was like when she was a child, and do you think that she has changed now with all the success she's been having?
Actually, I am a family friend, I think, for many, many years, and my daughter played with Markéta and her sister Zuzana, so we know each other quite well. I think that she was always very brave, intelligent, a little bit introvert, a shy person, but I believe that Markéta will stay as she is. She will stay kind of humble as she is.
Take this sinking boat and port it home. We've still got time. Raise your hopeful voice.
Just a reminder that you are listening to Radio Prague, coming your way from the Czech Republic here in Central Europe. Now we stay with music, but travel a bit back in time. Mm-hmm. the voice of the world-famous opera singer Emma Destinová, who was born here in Prague 130 years ago on Tuesday, on the 26th of February 1878. Born Emma Pavlína Vienceslava Kytlová in what was then the Austro-Hungarian Empire, she is best known internationally as Emmy Destin. By the way, she took the name Destin from her German voice teacher when she made her debut at the Dresden Opera in 1897. 7 years later, Destin made her debut at London's Royal Opera House. It was there that she was to appear in the premiere of Madame Butterfly alongside the legendary Enrico Caruso, a singer she later worked with at New York's Metropolitan Opera. Let's hear a little more of the great Czech soprano. This is Tosca by Giacomo Puccini. Prior to World War I, Emmy Destin was one of the most sought-after singers in the world. However, the Great War dealt a serious blow to the star's career, as her links with the Czech resistance led to her passport being revoked. By the time she returned to the Metropolitan Opera in 1919, a new generation of singers were in favour. The singer came home to Czechoslovakia, where she retired in 1926. She died of a stroke 4 years later and is buried among the greats of Czech culture at Prague's Vyšehrad Cemetery. Emmy Destin holds a prominent place in Czech history and in the history of opera. Now in this week's Talking Point, Colleen O'Connor looks at the huge gains made by the Czech crown or koruna against the euro and the dollar recently and asks whether this is good for the Czech economy.
Koruna v poslední době láme jeden rekord za druhým. Teď se dostala pod magickou hranici 25 korun za euro a ve čtvrtek se poprvé obchodovala za méně než 17 korun za dolar. Silný kurz měny už tradičně.
News talk shows in the Czech media this week have been full of discussions about the Czech crown, which has been repeatedly breaking new records against both the dollar and the euro, and leaving many financial analysts scratching their heads in amazement. Aleš Michl is an economist with Raiffeisen Bank.
Right now the Czech koruna is the world's best performer against the both euro and US dollar this year. It means that the appreciation of the Czech koruna is the strongest than any other else in the world. So I would say that the current appreciation is, dramatic, robust or even shocking.
Many feel the current rapid rise in the crown is due to speculators trying to make a quick buck on the currency's strength, and that there will be a so-called correction in the coming months, which will see its value decline slightly. Nonetheless, the underlying strength of the Czech economy, with a strong trade balance and high GDP growth, means that the Czech crown is still going to remain relatively robust, and its value may continue to appreciate gradually in the long term. Tomáš Sedláček is a leading economic analyst with the Czechoslovak Commercial Bank. He says the strength of the Czech crown is very much a double-edged sword, in that it puts more money in people's pockets, but could also damage local industry, as Czech products become too expensive for people buying them in euros and dollars.
To give an extreme example is to compare the Czech koruna to a dollar. Dollar was sold for 42 crowns a couple of years ago. Dollar is 2.5 times cheaper now. So in that respect, we have, literally during our sleep, so to speak, we have more than doubled our wealth vis-a-vis the American economy. So of course, it's a great news for the Czech consumers. It's great news for people that travel abroad. It also helps to push down the prices of crude oil, etc., etc., petrol, all the things that we import are much cheaper than they would if koruna wouldn't be stronger. So, I mean, as we all know, economy always has two sides and two hands, and there is no such thing as a clearly good news. And it's also a matter of prestige. A stronger koruna, obviously, is a prestigious thing. What we have to pay is the exporters are the ones that suffer from this. The rest of the economy gains.
Despite the fact that the crown has been appreciating steadily in recent years, Czech export levels are still quite buoyant. Tomáš Sedláček says that this is because Czech manufacturers have been focusing increasingly on producing quality goods which are not as price sensitive as other merchandise.
It has been the general trend in our past 16 years of history. We have moved from, so to speak, price competitiveness, in other words, selling medium quality goods for a very low price, to a market where our goods are so well respected that our Western customers are able or are willing to pay a higher price. Now, a crown example of this is the Skoda cars, which used to be a very, very mediocre car in the beginning of the 90s. And if it ever was exported, it was really a low-end market. Now it's a car that is well-respected, it has a good name, so our customers are willing to accept an increase in the retail price.
In the years since EU accession, there's been a big increase in Czech exports to the Eurozone. And this has helped offset much of the negative impact of the crown's increased value. Nevertheless, there are signs that Czech exports to other EU countries are starting to flatten out. If the crown were to continue appreciating in value, this could hit Czech manufacturers pretty hard. Aleš Michal suggests that Czech exporters should start looking further afield to counter this potential problem.
I would say that right now the business could face this problem, changing its strategy from trading with the Eurozone to trading with the East. Because right now, 90% of the export is the trading with countries such as US or Eurozone. So for us, the strategy of changing this trend for trading more with the East could solve this problem very much, I would say. It could be more balanced, I would say, portfolio of our exporters.
Besides concerns that Czech exporters will have their work cut out to stave off the effects of a strong Czech crown, it seems that the currency's appreciation has also caused complications in other areas.
Sílící měna ale dělá starosti i těm, kteří čerpají peníze z evropských fondů. Projekty jsou totiž schvalovány v eurech.
A TV news story reveals that the appreciation of the Czech crown means that at least 10% has been wiped off billions of euros in EU cohesion funds, which were agreed with the European Union in 2005. The money, which had been earmarked for vital public works projects to improve the country's infrastructure, will now have to be supplemented from the public exchequer, because the Czech authorities inexplicably failed to use any hedging mechanisms to protect the funds from currency fluctuations. Tomáš Sedláček says the whole affair is a salutary lesson for Czech fiscal policymakers, who are perhaps naive in their approach to handling EU monies.
I think it was just overlooked. It's an issue that nobody expected, or it's an issue that perhaps it's also a novelty for us. We're not used to this. It's a good lesson for next time. All these things must be hedged or should be hedged.
Considering that around 80 billion crowns, or approximately $4.75 billion at current exchange rates, are estimated to have been wiped off the value of EU subsidies to the Czech Republic, it seems that the Czech fiscal authorities have made a pretty expensive mistake. Not surprisingly, Aleš Michal does not take as charitable a view of the situation as Mr. Sedláček.
I would say that that the Ministry of Finance totally failed with hedging the position of the EU funds. I would say it's totally stupid policy. I cannot be any polite or something like that. It's stupid policy, I would say.
One thing that the current appreciation of the Czech crown has brought into sharp focus is how vulnerable a small, export-dependent economy like the Czech Republic is to the vagaries of international markets. In the past, many European countries used to use interventionist mechanisms, such as currency devaluation, to stave off the impact of adverse exchange rate fluctuations. Some exporters have been calling on the Czech government to take a similarly proactive approach to curbing the strength of the Czech crown. But is such an idea feasible in today's global economy, where non-protectionist, free market thinking holds sway? Aleš Michal again.
Simple answer, no option for the government. I would say that the best choice for the government is not to do anything about the Czech exchange rate and to focus on the economic growth of the Czech Republic. And I would say that there is no choice for the Czech National Bank as well, because there can be some intervention, but I would say there can be on a short-term correction because of the intervention, but in the long term they don't have any change against the globalized financial market.
Tomáš Sedláček generally concurs with this view, although he does add that there is actually one highly effective thing the government could do to eliminate exchange rate uncertainty.
One of the key reasons why euro was introduced in vast majority of European countries was this, to get rid of this very unpredictable, sometimes harming, strengthening and weakening of mutual currencies. So one thing that the government can do is to speed up the accession process. Otherwise, there is very little the Czech National Bank or the government can do.
Tomáš Sedláček speaking to Colleen O'Connor. And that edition of Talking Point brings us to the end of today's program here on Radio Prague. From myself, Ruth Franková, and all of us here at the station, goodbye and take care.